This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Accelerate your day with today's business headlines with Volvo Cars.
Good morning, 8:47 a.m. I'm Khoo Sitrong, joined by Joyce Goh and my guest host, Giri Balakrishnan. Now, let's look at the business headlines, gentlemen and lady. And I start off with Brim. Now, last Saturday, the good Prime Minister Tun Mahathir announced that Putrajaya will slowly reduce payouts of Brim before eventually discontinuing it, right? Now, Dr. Mahathir has blamed the Najib administration for spoiling the people. Spoiling the people, I guess, analogy for, buying votes in a way, right? Now, what do you guys think?
Yeah, well, in response to Dr. M's comments, Dato' Sri Najarazak criticised the government's plans. He claims that, you know, the people will soon need it more than ever. He cited that the apparent looming economic crisis predicted by some analysts, you know, they will need the... I mean, people will need the Brim, and this move to phase out the rebranded Brim would impact lower-income groups.
Well, let's look at this from a concept perspective. This was actually brought about in 2011 and with disbursements in 2012. Initially, it was only supposed to be a one-off cash payment of 500 ringgit to households with less than 3,000 ringgit monthly income. So, but in its first run, almost 2.6 billion was given to around 4.2 million households, or roughly 80% of Malaysian households. So over a period of 5 years, we're looking at a whopping 26.2 billion just on Brim alone.
Or about 5 billion a year. Now, look, I mean, let's look at it dispassionately, right? Let's look at it from a pure economic angle. Malaysia does not have a social welfare system. We do not have the dole like the UK. We don't have a parachute system where people who have lost their jobs or don't have enough money to make ends meet have somewhere to go. Brim was it, right? In a way, helicopter cash is the most effective way of making ends meet because it's pure hardcore cash in your hands.
Yeah.
The problem was in the few years that it was introduced, it became a convenient political tool to buy the popularity of an administration.
Yeah, well, the Economic Affairs Minister, Dato' Sri Mohamed Azman Ali, claims that the cash handouts such as Brim, it should be stopped because, you know, there are elements of corruption in it. In quotes, he says, you know, giving out cash handouts like this should stop because it is considered a politically motivated bribe to gain support.
Correct.
That's what he's saying.
So neither Najib or Mahathir are wrong because both are right in some instance. Now, the whole issue, I think, for Malaysia Baru going forward is how do we restructure this? How do we transform it to become a better and more improved system, right? Now, back in March, we spoke to Wan Ya Shin about the viability of Brim. She's a social policy researcher with IDEAS, that's the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs. We asked her to explain some of the problems of Brim.
The problem of Brim is that it's a one-off thing, it's a cash handout. There is also no such thing as to create support after that for the people to exit from poverty in that sense. So that's one of the biggest problems, which it creates dependency, because it doesn't help the people to improve their skills or to have a long-term and sustainable solution to that. And the second thing is the constraint of that limited amount of money. How much can that money help in tackling the cost of living. If we look at Brim, it's just a few hundred ringgit. It's not going to do a lot in terms of tackling poverty per se. It's just more to help for short term. So in the long term, it's not going to do much in tackling the issue of poverty.
That was Wan Ya Shin, social policy researcher at IDEAS. Now, I think we are quite well settled in accepting that Brim is going to be reformed. She's right. I mean, there's not enough money. It's not well. It's not targeted, and it doesn't improve the lot because, as you know, as everybody knows, you give a man a fish, he'll eat for one day. You give the man a lesson to learn how to
teach
fish.
Teach him to fish.
You teach him how to fish, yeah. he'll eat for life. Now, all Brim, I think, has to be accompanied with certain programs to help alleviate your, or to help give you the ability to get a better job at better pay and to keep on upskilling yourself. I think the new government is very aware of this problem and will be reforming it.
Yeah, they're saying that PKR Sitiawangsa MP Nick Nazmi and Nick Ahmad thinks that, you know, the cash payouts should instead be reformed and looking at things like, you know, including tying it to positive behaviour, such as making it conditional for children of receiving families to be immunised, or as well as, you know, get education or receive training, you know. So I'm going to give you this money, but you need to... when you take this money, you need to make sure that you get your kids educated, or you know, that there has to be some tie-in with that cash handout.
Well, it looks like there's a whole host of ideas that need to be addressed in looking at this BRIM. It's not just giving the handout. You're also looking at in terms of employment, in terms of unemployment benefit, in terms of providing training for those who require it. There seems to be a whole range of areas that need to be covered. So simply just pulling out something out of a hat just to abolish BRIM may not necessarily be the long-term solution of what the problem really is.
No, I think that's a good point, Gary, because, you know, taken holistically and taken in totality with our discussion with Dr. Josh Bowler as well earlier, you know, now that we are in this new era of Malaysia Baru following May 9th, we're looking at this whole re-examination of the Employment Act, looking to include more people, including to more geographies. And this whole issue of BRIM as well, this whole self-examination wasn't really evident. In fact, it was not at all evident before the elections. And I'm just totally heartened by this, you know, this self-analysis that's going on. And, you know, lest people get impatient and look for overnight results, that's not going to happen. To get a good long-term solution, we need a long-term analysis to make something work for the long term.
Yeah, definitely. But looking at BRIM is just how do they address this? How do they walk this thin? You know, it's a balancing act. How are you going to do that?
Absolutely. Okay, let's move along also to another comment by the good Prime Minister. He said on Saturday that Malaysia is looking to the tourism industry and palm oil production to stimulate the ailing economy. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but tourism is hugely important for Malaysia.
It is.
It is 15% of GDP as of last year. 180 billion ringgit, right?
Yeah, generated.
Airlines, hotels, shopping, retail, businesses, conferences, etc., etc., etc.
Yeah, and The Edge Weekly has this infographic this week in their weekend edition, and there are a number of interesting factoids there. You can see that, you know, total tourist arrivals have only increased marginally, but receipts continue to grow, and Singapore, they remain the highest contributor to our forex despite a drop in the number of tourist arrivals in 2017. Last year, it contributed nearly 37 billion ringgit in tourist receipts.
Yeah, China's not far off. They've actually been growing in numbers of arrivals. They overtook Indonesia's second largest country in terms of receipts. One of the main reasons for the increase in tourist arrivals is quick visa approvals. So from about 5.7 billion in 2015 to over 9 billion last year.
No, I'm glad you raised that point because, okay, right, get this, guys. China, 1.4 billion people. India, 1.2 billion people. Combined, nearly 3 billion people, right? Malaysians need visas to fly to those two countries, and I think Indians and Chinese also need visas to fly to Malaysia. Why don't we have a situation where there's a visa-free travel between our three countries, and suddenly, bada boom, right?
Bada boom.
Revenue spikes through the roof. I mean, India, I think, I've been recently to India, right? It's a six-month visa, costs about 500 ringgit. It's hugely expensive, and it's like pulling a tooth when you're trying to apply for visa. It's ridiculous. Why should we have that?
Right. Well, I think that revision was just done recently. It used to be about 300 ringgit to India.
Now it's gotten more expensive.
Now it's gotten more expensive. Right? I think there's a lot more tourists going to India. We're talking about Indonesia as well.
And, exactly.
If you're going to have that agreement between Indonesia, India and China, you've also got the issue of foreign workers, and you know there is a grey area in that needs to be dealt with as well. So maybe that's where one of the stumbling blocks may be.
Could be.
It's just an area that you know that is worth considering, though.
Could be. The other thing also that we don't really notice that Middle Easterner tourists, right, with Saudis at the top, they are the biggest spenders in the country, and I guess that's not surprising given how much money they've got. They come here and they buy the blazers out of like a lot 10, don't they?
Top five per capita spenders, Saudi Arabians, and you know, arrivals from some of the countries in the Middle East though have been declining. Saudi Arabia was down 18.8%, from UAE down some 39.5%. You know, it's worth noting though that Emirates flies Dubai KL route three times a day during
three
winter.
Three times a day.
And four times a day during summer. That's a lot of flights. I think Etihad also serves the Abu Dhabi KL route. That's twice a day. It's a lot of flights there. But you can see that some of the tourists, they come here as transit. They come to Malaysia to transit. So that's also a catchment there, whether or not we can get them to stay longer in Malaysia.
Yeah, I think the average stay is about 5 or 6 days. The whole idea is to get them to stay longer and to spend more money.
To spend
right?
more, yeah. So per day, per tourist, they spend some 555 ringgit. That's up by some 181 ringgit.
Well, let's have a look at some of the tourist arrival figures. For Malaysia, they averaged about 20 million compared to Hong Kong, which registered about 58 million in 2017, while Singapore reported 17.4 million last year. Now, this year's target is 33.1 million tourists and about 134 billion in receipts. This is what the Tourism Arts and Culture Minister, Dato' Mohamad Khatapi, said on Saturday. In fact, he says Malaysia is on track to achieve its target of 33.1 million tourists for 2018.
So unless the irony is lost on us, you know, Hong Kong's the size of Port Dixon, but it gets twice as many. Sorry, of course I'm being too literal here. But Hong Kong gets twice as many arrivals as Malaysia. Now, you could say that bad fortune, misfortune has blighted our tourism arrivals in recent years. I mean, 2013, 2014, we had Visit Malaysia Year. It was cancelled because of MH370. Then we've had several years of the haze, which of course nobody wants to fly into. You come to the sea, the beaches, you don't want to be coming to get carbon monoxide poisoning, right? You know, the whole idea is to basically fill out and widen the prospects for tourism arrivals, not just into KL, but into the other parts of the world.
To the other states as well. Did you know that the bulk of money spent by tourists last year just went into shopping? That's more than 30%. That replaces the previous largest component since 2015, that's accommodation. So they come here to shop, and F&B came in third at 15%. I think there's more that we can do, though.
Like, absolutely.
Do experiences, you know, create more, kind of package it more, curate experiences
absolutely.
For these tourists.
Maybe it's a marketing thing, because in the last 3-4 weeks, I've been to Kota Kinabalu, I've been to Kuching, I've been to Kuantan, I've been soon going to Ipoh Melaka for work, right? And now, just come from Kuching KK. Kuching is a beautiful town. It's an amazing, amazing part of the world where a lot of people don't realize what they're missing. KK as well, right? A fantastic place. You've got the jungle, you've got the diving, you've got the mountains, you've got the beaches, you've got the food, etc.
So we need to promote other states
it's
more.
It's a marketing thing.
As well as keep our public toilets and airport toilets clean.
Clean, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a big, major
okay,
part.
Right. 8:58 in the morning. We're going to be coming back with the 9 o'clock news. After that, the KLCI, BFM 89.9.
Fuel your business drive with a Volvo S90 T8 twin engine. So cost efficient, it makes good business sense. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.